heaven. But except you be humbled, you are not capable of the Bible heaven. That heaven described in the Old and New Testaments, is not that heaven a lifting up in due time? But how shall you be lifted up that are never well got down? Where will your tears be to be wiped away? What place will there be for your triumph who will not fight the good fight? How can it be a rest to you who cannot submit to labor? The saints' heaven. Of the saints' heaven, and he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. This answers the question about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the saints with them there. They were brought down to the dust by humbling circumstances, and out of these they came before the throne. How can you ever think to be lifted up with them, with whom you cannot think to be brought down? Christ's heaven. Of Christ's heaven, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. Oh, consider how the forerunner made his way. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Luke 24:26. And lay your account with it, that if you get where he is, you must go thither as he went. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. 10. Give up at length with your towering hopes from this world, and confine them to the world to come. Be as pilgrims and strangers here, looking for your rest in heaven, and not till you come there. There is a prevailing evil. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Isaiah 57:10. So the Babel building is still continued, though it has fallen down again and again. For men say, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Isaiah 9:10. This makes humbling work very long. We are so hard to quit hold of the creature, to fall off from the breast and be weaned. But fasten on the other world, and let your hold of this go. So shall you be humbled indeed under the mighty hand. The faster you hold the happiness of that world, the easier will it be to accommodate yourselves to your humbling circumstances here. 11. Make use of Christ in all his offices for your humiliation under your humbling circumstances. That only is kindly humiliation that comes in this way. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. Zechariah 12:10. This you must do by trusting on him for that effect. 1. As a priest for you. You have a conscience full of guilt, and that will make one uneasy in any circumstances, and far more in humbling circumstances. It will be like a thorn in the shoulder on which a burden is laid. But the blood of Christ will purge the conscience, draw out the thorn, give ease. Isaiah 33:24, and fit for service, doing or suffering. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 2. As your prophet to teach you. We have need to be taught rightly to discern our humbling circumstances, for often we mistake them so far that they prove an oppressive load, whereas could we rightly see them, just as God sets them to us, they would be humbling, but not so oppressive. Truly, we need Christ and the light of His Word and Spirit to let us see our cross and trial as well as our duty. Psalm 25, 9 and 10. 3. And as your King, you have a stiff heart, loath to bow, even in humbling circumstances. Take a lesson from Moses what to do in such a case. And he said, Let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin. Exodus 34, 9. Put it in his hand that is strong and mighty. Psalm 24, 8. He is able to cause it to melt, and like wax, before the fire, turn to the seal. Think on these directions in order to put them in practice, remembering, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Remember, humbling work is a work that will fill your hand while you live here, and that you cannot come to the end of it till death, and humbling circumstances will attend you while you are in this lower world. A change of them you may get, but a freedom from them you cannot till you come to heaven. So the humbling circumstances of our imperfections, relations, contradictions, afflictions, uncertainties, and sinfulness will afford matter of exercise to us while here. What remains of the purpose of this text I shall comprise in a promise of blessing for the afflicted. Doctrine. There is a due time wherein those that now humble themselves under the mighty hand of God will certainly be lifted up. 1. Those who shall share of this lifting up must pay their account, in the first place, with a casting down, Revelation 7:14, John 16:33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. There is no coming to the promised land according to the settled method of grace, but through the wilderness, nor entering into this exaltation, but through a straight gate. If we cannot away with the casting down, we shall not taste the sweet of the lifting up. 2. Being cast down by the mighty hand of God, we must learn to lie still and quiet under it, till the same hand that cast us down raise us up. If we would share of this promised lifting up, Lamentations 3:27. It is not the being cast down into humbling circumstances by the providence of God, but the coming down of our spirits under them by the grace of God that brings us within the compass of this promise. 3. Those who are never humbled in humbling circumstances shall never be lifted up in the way of this promise. Men may keep their spirits on the high bend in their humbling circumstances, and in that case may get a lifting up, Proverbs 16:19. But such a lifting up as will end in a more grievous fall. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Psalm 73:18. But they who will not humble themselves in humbling circumstances will find that their obstinacy will keep their misery ever fast on them without remedy. 4. Humility of spirit in humbling circumstances ascertains a lifting up out of them some time with the good will and favor of heaven. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:14. Solomon observes that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1. And so it is, that while the proud through their obstinacy do but wreathe the yoke faster about their own necks, the humble ones, by their yielding, make their relief sure. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. 1 Samuel 2:8-10. So cannon will break down a stone wall, while yielding packs of wool will take away its force. 5. There is an appointed time for the lifting up of those that humble themselves in their humbling circumstances, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk 2:3. To everything there is a time, as for humbling, so for lifting up. Ecclesiastes 3:3. We know it not, but God knows it, who has appointed it. Let not the humble one say, I shall never be lifted up. There is a time fixed for it, as precisely as for the rising of the sun after a long and dark night, or the return of the spring after a long and sharp winter. 6. It is not to be expected that immediately upon one's humbling himself, the lifting up is to follow. No, one is not merely to lie down under the mighty hand, but to lie still, waiting the due time. Humbling work is long work. The Israelites had 40 years of it in the wilderness. God's people must be brought to put a blank in his hand as to the time, and while they have a long night of walking in darkness, must trust. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in the darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Isaiah 50:10. 7. The appointed time for the lifting up is the due time, the time fittest for it, wherein it will come most seasonably. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. For that is the time God has chosen for it, and be sure his choice, as the choice of infinite wisdom, is the best, and therefore faith sets to wait it. Isaiah 28:16. He that believeth shall not make haste. Much of the beauty of anything depends on the timing of it, and he has fixed that in all that he does. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. 8. The lifting up of the humble will not fail to come in the appointed and due time. Habakkuk 2:3. Time makes no halting. It is running day and night, so the due time is fast coming. And when it comes, it will bring the lifting up along with it. Let the humbling circumstances be ever so low, ever so hopeless. It is impossible, but the lifting up from them must come in the due time. A word in the general to the lifting up, abiding those that humble themselves. There is a twofold lifting up. A partial lifting up, competent to the humbled in time during this life. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Psalm 30:1. This is a lifting up in part, and but in part, not wholly, and such lifting up the humbled may expect while in this world, but no more. These give a breathing to the weary, a change of burdens, but do not set them at perfect ease. So Israel in the wilderness, in the midst of their many mourning times, had some singing ones. Exodus 15:1, Numbers 21:17. The total lifting up competent to them at the end of time, at death, Luke 16:22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Then the Lord deals with them no more by parcels, but carries their relief to perfection. Hebrews 12:22-23. Then he takes off all their burdens, eases them of all their weights, and lays no more on forever. He then lifts them up to a height they were never at before, no, not even at their highest. He sets them quite above all that is low, and therein fixes them, never to be brought down more. Now there is a due time for both these. For the partial lifting up, every time is not fit for it. We are not always fit to receive comfort and ease or a change of our burdens. God sees there are times wherein it is needful for his people to be in heaviness. 1 Peter 1:6, to have their hearts brought down with grief. Psalm 107:12. But then there is a time really appointed for it in the divine wisdom, when he will think it as needful to comfort them as before to bring down. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. 2 Corinthians 2:7. We are in that case in the hand of God, as in the hand of our physician, who appoints the time the drawing plaster shall continue, and when the healing plaster shall be applied, and leaves it not to the patient. For the total lifting up, when we are sore oppressed with our burdens, we are ready to think, oh, to be away and set beyond them all. As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. Job 7:2-3. But it may be fitter for all that we stay a while and struggle with our burdens. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Philippians 1:24-25. A few days might have taken Israel out of Egypt into Canaan, but they would have been too soon there if they had made all that speed. So they chose to spend 40 years in the wilderness till their due time of entering Canaan should come. And be sure, the saints entering heaven will be convinced that the time of it is best chosen, and there will be a beauty in that it was no sooner, and thus a lifting up is secured for the humble. Chapter 6. God uplifts his people in affliction. If one should assure you, when reduced to poverty, that the time would certainly come yet that you should be rich, when sore sick, that you should not die of that disease, but certainly recover, that would help you to bear your poverty and sickness the better, and you would comfort yourselves with that prospect. However, one may continue poor and never be rich, may be sick and die of his disease, but whoever humble themselves under their humbling circumstances, we can assure them from the Lord's word They shall certainly, without all peradventure, be lifted up out of and relieved from their humbling circumstances. They shall certainly see the day of their ease and relief, when they shall remember their burdens as waters that fail, and you may be assured thereof from the following considerations. 1. The nature of God, duly considered, ensures it. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Psalm 103:8-9. The humbled soul looking to God in Christ may see three things in his nature jointly securing it. Infinite power that can do all things. No circumstances are so low but he can raise them, so entangling and perplexing but he can unravel them, so hopeless but he can remedy them. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18:14. Be our case what it will, it is never past reaching him to help it. But then, it is the most proper season for him to take it in hand when all others have given it over. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. Deuteronomy 32:36. 2. Infinite goodness inclining to help. He is good and gracious in his nature, Exodus 34:6-7. And therefore, his power is a spring of comfort to them, Romans 14:4. Men may be willing that they are not able, or able that they are not willing, but infinite goodness, joining infinite power in God, may ascertain the humbled of a lifting up in due time. That is a word of inconceivable sweetness, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 John 4:16. He has the bowels of a father towards the humble, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalm 103:13. Yea, bowels of mercy more tender than a mother to her sucking child. Isaiah 49:15. Wherefore, howbeit his wisdom may see it necessary to put them in humbling circumstances and keep them there for a time, it is not possible he can leave them therein altogether. Infinite wisdom that does nothing in vain and therefore will not needlessly keep one in humbling circumstances. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Lamentations 3:32-33. God sends afflictions for humbling as the end and design to be brought about by them. When what is obtained and there is no more use for them that way, we may assure ourselves they will be taken off. The providence of God viewed in its stated methods of procedure with its objects ensures it. Turn your eyes which way you will on the divine providence, you may conclude thence that in due time the humble will be lifted up. Observe the providence of God in the revolutions of the whole course of nature, day succeeding to the longest night, a summer to the winter, a waxing to a waning of the moon, a flowing to an ebbing of the sea, etc. Let not the Lord's humbled ones be idle spectators of these things. They are for our learning. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Jeremiah 31:35-37. Will the Lord's hand keep such a steady course in the earth, sea, and visible heavens, as to bring a lifting up in them after a casting down, and only forget his humbled ones? No, by no means. Observe the providence of God in the dispensations thereof, about the man Christ, the most noble and august object thereof, more valuable than a thousand worlds. Colossians 2:9. Did not providence keep this course with him, first humbling him, then exalting him, and lifting him up, first bringing him to the dust of death, in a course of sufferings 33 years, then exalting him to the Father's right hand in an eternity of glory? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 12:12. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Philippians 2:8-9. The exaltation could not fail to follow his humiliation. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Luke 24:26. And he saw and believed it would follow, as the springing of the seed does the sowing it. John 12:24. There is a near concern the humbled in humbling circumstances have herein. This is the pattern providence copies after in its conduct towards you. The Father was so well pleased with this method in the case of his own Son that it was determined to be followed and just copied over again in the case of all the heirs of glory. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And who would not be pleased to walk through the darkest valley, treading his steps? This is a sure pledge of your lifting up. Christ, in his state of humiliation, was considered as a public person and representative, and so is he in his exaltation. So Christ's exaltation ensures your exaltation out of your humbling circumstances. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Isaiah 26:19. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hosea 6:1-2. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. Yea, he is gone into the state of glory for us as our forerunner. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever. Hebrews 6:20. His humiliation was the price of your exaltation, and his exaltation a testimony of the acceptance of its payment to the full. There are no humbling circumstances ye are in, but ye would have perished in them, had not he purchased your lifting up out of them by his own humiliation. Isaiah 26:19. Now his humbling grace in you is an evidence of the acceptance of his humiliation for your lifting up. Observe the providence of God towards the church in all ages. This has been the course the Lord has kept with her. Psalm 129:1-4. Abel was slain by wicked Cain, to the great grief of Adam and Eve and the rest of their pious children. But then there was another seed raised up in Abel's room, Genesis 4:25. Noah and his sons were buried alive in the ark for more than a year, but then they were brought out into a new world and blessed. Abraham for many years went childless, but at length Isaac was born. Israel was long in miserable bondage in Egypt, but at length seated in the promised land, etc. We must be content to go by the footsteps of the flock, and if in humiliation, we shall surely follow them in exaltation too. Observe the providence of God in the dispensations of his grace towards his children. The general rule is, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. How are they brought into a state of grace? Is it not by a sound work of humiliation going before? Luke 6:48. And ordinarily, the greater the measure of grace designed for any, the deeper is their humiliation before, as in Paul's case. If they are to be recovered out of a backsliding case, the same method is followed, so that the deepest humiliation ordinarily makes way for the greatest comfort, and the darkest hour goes before the rising of the sun of righteousness upon them. Isaiah 66:5-13. Observe the providence of God at length, throwing down wicked men, however long they stand and prosper. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Psalm 37:35-36. They are long green before the sun, but at length they are suddenly smitten with an east wind and wither away. Their lamp goes out with a stench, and they are put out in obscure darkness. Now it is inconsistent with the benignity of the divine nature to forget the humble to raise them, while he minds the proud to abase them. The word of God puts it beyond all peradventure, which, from the beginning to the end, is the humbled saint's security for a lifting up. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened in me. Psalm 119:49-50. His word is the great letter of his name, which he will certainly cause to shine. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Psalm 138:2. And in all generations hast been safely relied on. Psalm 12:6. Consider, 1. The doctrines of the word, which teach faith and hope for the time, and the happy issue which the exercise of these graces will have. The whole current of Scripture to those in humbling circumstances is not to cast away their confidence, but to hope to the end, and that for this good reason, that it shall not be in vain. See Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And compare Romans 9:33, Isaiah 49:23. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. 2. The promises of the word, whereby heaven is expressly engaged for a lifting up to those that humble themselves in humbling circumstances. Humble yourselves in sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23:12. It may take a time to prepare them for lifting up, but that being done, it is secured. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Psalm 10:17. They have his word for deliverance. Psalm 50:15. And though they may seem to be forgotten, they shall not be always so. The time of their deliverance will come. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Psalm 9:18. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalm 102:17. 3. The examples of the word sufficiently confirming the truth of the doctrines and promises, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4. In the doctrines and promises, the lifting up is proposed to our faith, to be reckoned on the credit of God's Word. But in the examples, it is, in the case of others, set before our eyes to be seen. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James 5:11. There we see it in the case of Abraham, Job, David, Paul, and other saints, but above all, in the case of the man, Christ. 4. The intercession of Christ, joining the prayers and cries of his humbled people in their humbling circumstances, ensures a lifting up for them at length. Be it so, that the proud cry not when he binds them, yet his own humbled ones will certainly cry unto him. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and of my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm 42:7-8. And though unbelievers may soon be outwearied and give it over altogether, surely believers will not do so. But though they may, in a fit of temptation, lay it by as hopeless, they will find themselves obliged to take it up again. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah 20:9. They will cry night and day unto him. Luke 18:7. Knowing no time for giving it over till they be lifted up. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not, and behold from heaven. Lamentations 3:49-50. Now, Christ's intercession being joined with these cries, there cannot fail to be a lifting up. Christ's intercession is certainly joined with the cries and prayers of the humbled in their humbling circumstances. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Revelation 8:3. They are by the Spirit helped to groan for relief. Romans 8:26. And the prayers and groans which are through the Spirit are certainly to be made effectual by the intercession of the Son. James 5:16. And ye may know they are by the Spirit, if so be ye are helped to continue praying, hoping for your suit at last on the grounds of God's word of promise. For nature's praying is a pool that will dry up in a long drought. The spirit of prayer is the lasting spring. John 4:14, Psalm 138:3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Truly there is an intercession in heaven on account of the humbling circumstances of the humble ones. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Zechariah 1:12. How then can they miss of a lifting up in due time? Christ is in deep earnest in his intercession for his people in their humbling circumstances. Some will speak a good word in favor of the helpless, that will be little concerned whether they speed or not. But our intercessor is in earnest in behalf of his humbled ones, for he is touched with sympathy in their case. In all their afflictions he was afflicted. Isaiah 63:9. A most tender sympathy, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Zechariah 2:8. He has their case upon his heart, where he is in the holy place in the highest heavens. Exodus 28:29. And he keeps an exact account of the time of their humbling circumstances, be it as long as it will. Zechariah 1:12. Moreover, it is his own business. The lifting up which they are to have is a thing that is secured to him in the promises made to him on the account of his blood shed for them. So not only are they looking on earth, but the man Christ is in heaven looking for the accomplishment of these promises. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Hebrews 10:12-13. How is it possible then that he should be balked? Moreover, these humbling circumstances are his own sufferings still, though not in his person, yet in his members, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Colossians 1:24. Wherefore there is all ground to conclude he is in deep earnest. Again, his intercession is always effectual, and I knew that thou hearest me always. John 11:42. It cannot miss to be so, because he is the Father's well-beloved Son. His intercession has a plea of justice for the ground of it. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:1. Moreover, he has all power in heaven and earth lodged in him. Matthew 28:18. And finally, he and his Father are one, and there will be one. So both Christ and his Father will do the lifting up of the humble ones, but yet only in the due time. I now proceed to a more particular view of the point, and we will consider the lifting up as brought about in time, which is the partial lifting up. This lifting up does not take place in every case of a child of God. One may be humbled in humbling circumstances from which he is not to get a lifting up in time. He would not from the promise presently conclude that we, being humbled under our humbling circumstances, shall certainly be taken out of them and freed from them ere we get to the end of our journey. For it is certain there are some, such as our imperfections and sinfulness and mortality, we can by no means be rid of while in this world. and there are particular humbling circumstances the Lord may bring about one and keep about him till he goes down to the grave, while in the meantime he may lift up another from the same. Heman was pressed down all along from his youth. Psalm 88:15. Others all their lifetime. Hebrews 2:15. Objection. If that be the case, what comes of the promise of lifting up? Where is the lifting up if one may go to the grave under the weight? Answer. Were there no life after this, there would be ground for that objection. But since there is another life, there is none in it at all. In the other life, the promise will be accomplished to the humbled as it was. Luke 16:22. Consider that the great term for accomplishing the promises is the other life, not this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Hebrews 11:13. And that whatever accomplishment of the promise is here, it is not of the nature of a stock, but of a sample or a pledge. Question. But then, may we not give over praying for the lifting up in that case? Answer. We do not know when that is our case. For a case may be past all hope in our eyes and the eyes of others, in which God designs a lifting up in time, as in Job's, "What is my strength that I should hope, and what is mine end that I should prolong my life?" Job 6:11. But be it as it will, we should never give over praying for the lifting up, since it will certainly come to all that pray in faith for it, if not here, yet hereafter. The promise is sure, and that is the commandment, so such praying cannot miss of a happy issue at length. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 50:15. The whole life of a Christian is a praying, waiting life, to encourage whereunto all temporal deliverances are given as pledges. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 8:23. And whoso observes that full lifting up at death to be at hand must certainly rise, if he has given over his case as hopeless. However, there are some cases wherein this lifting up does take place. God gives his people some notable liftings up, even in time, raising them out of remarkably humbling circumstances. The storm is changed into a calm, and they remember it as waters that fail. Psalm 40:1-4. Some may be in humbling circumstances very long and sore and hopeless, and yet a lifting up may be abiding them of a much longer continuance. This is sometimes the case with the children of God, who are set to bear the yoke in their youth, as it was with Joseph and David, and of them that get it laid on them in their middle age, as it was with Job, who could not be less than 40 years old at his troubles coming, but after it lived 140. Job 42:16. God by such methods prepares man for peculiar usefulness. Others may be in humbling circumstances long and sore, and quite hopeless in the ordinary course of providence, yet they may get a lifting up ere they come to their journey's end. The life of some of God's children is like a cloudy and rainy day, wherein in the evening the sun breaks out from under the clouds, shines fair and clear a little, and then sets. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Zechariah 14:6-7. Such was the case of Jacob in his old age, brought in honor and comfort into Egypt unto his son, and then he died. Yet, whatever lifting up they get in this life, they will never want some weight hanging about them for their humbling. They may have their singing times, but their songs, while in this world, will be mixed with groanings. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. 2 Corinthians 5:4. The unmixed dispensation is reserved for the other world. But this will be a wilderness unto the end, where there will be howling with the most joyful notes. All the lifting up which the humbled meet with now are pledges, and but pledges and samples of the great lifting up, abiding with them on the other side, and they should look on them so. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Hosea 2:15. Our Lord is now leading his people through the wilderness, and the manna and the water of the rock are earnests of the milk and honey flowing in the promised land. They are not yet come home to their father's house, but they are traveling on the road, and Christ, their elder brother with them, who bears their expenses, takes them into inns by the way, as it were, and refreshes them with partial liftings up, after which they must get to the road again. But that entertainment, by the way, is a pledge of the full entertainment he will afford them when they come home. Objection. But people may get a lifting up in time that yet is no pledge of a lifting up on the other side. How shall I know it then to be a pledge? Answer. That lifting up which comes by the promises is certainly a pledge of the full lifting up in the other world. For as the other life is the proper time of the accomplishing of the promises, so we may be sure that when God once begins to clear his bond, he will certainly hold on till it is fully cleared. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Psalm 138:8. So we may say, as Naomi to Ruth, upon her receiving the 6 measures of barley from Boaz, Ruth 3:18, he will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. There are liftings up that come by common providence, and these indeed are single and not pledges of more, but the promise chains mercies together, so that one got is a pledge of another to come, yea, of the whole chain to the end. 2 Samuel 5:12. Question. But how shall I know the lifting up to come by the way of the promise? Answer. That which comes by the way of the promise comes in the low way of humiliation, the high way of faith or believing the promise, and the long way of waiting hope and patient continuance. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. James 5:7. Humility prepares for the accomplishment of the promise. Faith sucks the breast of it, and patient waiting hangs by the breast till the milk come abundantly. But no lifting up of God's children here are any more than pledges of lifting up. God gives worldly men their stock here, but his children get nothing but a sample of theirs here. Psalm 17:14. Even as the servant at the term gets his fee in a round sum, while the young heir gets nothing but a few pence for spending money. The truth is, this same spending money is more valuable than the world's stock. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Psalm 4:7. But though it is better than that, and their services too, and more worth than all their waiting, yet it is below the honor of their God to put them off with it. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11:16. We shall now consider what they will get by this lifting up promised to the humbled. They will get a removal of their humbling circumstances. God, having tried them a while and humbled them and brought down their heart, will at length take off their burden, remove the weight so long hung on them, and so take them off that part of their trial joyfully, and let them get up their back long bowed down, and this one of two ways. Either in kind by a total removal of the burden, such a lifting Job got when the Lord turned back his captivity, increased again his family and substance, which had both been desolated. David too, when Saul his persecutor fell in battle, and he was brought to the kingdom after many a weary day, expecting one day to fall by his hand. It is easy with our God to make such turns in the most humbling circumstances, or in equivalent or as good, removing the weight of the burden, that though it remains, it presses them no more. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Though they are not got to the shore, yet their head is no more under the water, but lifted up. David speaks feelingly of such a lifting up. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 27:5-6. Such had the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. The fire burnt, but it could burn nothing of them but their bonds. They had the warmth and light of it, but nothing of the scorching heat. 2. A comfortable sight of the acceptance of their prayers put up in their humbling circumstances. While prayers are not answered but trouble continued, they are apt to think they are not accepted or regarded in heaven because there is no alteration in their case. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice, for he breaketh me with a tempest. Job 9:16-17. But that is a mistake. They are accepted immediately, though not answered. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 5:14. The Lord does with them as a father with the letters coming thick from his son abroad, reads them one by one with pleasure and carefully lays them up to be answered at his convenience. And when the answer comes, the son will know how acceptable they were to his father. Matthew 15:28. 3. A heart satisfying answer of their prayers, so that they shall not only get the thing, but see, they have it as an answer of prayer, and they will put a double value on the mercy. 1 Samuel 2:1. Accepted prayers may be very long of answering, many years, as in Abraham and David's case, but they cannot miscarry of an answer at length. Psalm 9:18. The time will come when God will tell out to them, according to the promise, that they shall change their note and say, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Psalm 116:1. Looking on their lifting up as bearing the signature of the hand of a prayer-hearing God. 4. Full satisfaction as to the conduct of providence in all the steps of the humbling circumstances, and the delay of the lifting up, however perplexing these were before. Revelation 15:3. Standing on the shore and looking back to what they have passed through, they will be made to say, He hath done all things well. Those things that are bitter to Christians in passing through are very sweet in the reflection on them. So is Samson's riddle verified in their experience. 5. They get the lifting up together with the interest for the time they lay out of it. When God pays his bonds of promises, he pays both principal and interest together. The mercy is increased according to the time they waited, and the expenses and hardships sustained during the dependence of the process. The fruits of common providence are soon ripe, soon rotten, but the fruit of the promise is often long a ripening, and then it is durable, and the longer it is a ripening, it is the more valuable when it comes. Abraham and Sarah waited for the promise about 10 years. At length they thought on a way to hasten it. Genesis 16. That soon took in the birth of Ishmael, but he was not the promised son. They were coming into extreme old age ere the promise brought forth. Genesis 18:11. But when it came, they got it with an addition of the renewing of their ages. Genesis 21:7 and 25:1. The most valuable of all the promises was the longest in fulfilling, namely the promise of Christ that was for 4,000 years. 6. The spiritual enemies that flew thick about them in the time of the darkness of the humbling circumstances will be scattered at this lifting up in the promise. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. 1 Samuel 2:1-5. Formidable was Pharaoh's host behind the Israelites, while they had the Red Sea before them. But when they were through the sea, they saw the Egyptians dead on the shore. Exodus 14:30. Such a sight will they that humble themselves under humbling circumstances get of their spiritual enemies when the time comes for their lifting up. We come now to the due time of this lifting up. That is a natural question of those who are in humbling circumstances. Watchman, what of the night? Isaiah 21:11-12. And we cannot answer it to the humbled soul, but in the general. The lifting up of the humbled will not be long delayed, considering the weight of the matter, that is to say, considering the worth and value of the lifting up of the humble. When it comes, it can by no means be reckoned long to the time of it. When you sow your corn in the fields, though it does not ripen so soon as some garden seeds, but you wait 3 months or so, you do not think the harvest long a coming, considering the value of the crop. This view the apostle takes of the lifting up in humbling circumstances. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. So that a believer, looking on the promise with an eye of faith, and perceiving its accomplishment and the worth of it when accomplished, may wonder it is come so shortly. Therefore it is determined to be a time that comes soon. Luke 18:7-8. Soon in respect of its weight and worth. When the time comes, it and only it will appear in due time. To everything there is a season, and a great part of wisdom lies in discerning it and doing things in this season thereof. And we may be sure infinite wisdom cannot miss the season by mistaking it. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. Deuteronomy 32:4. But whatever God doth will abide the strictest examination in that, as all other points, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. It is true, many times appear to us as the due time for lifting up, which yet really is not so, because there are some circumstances hid from us, which render the season unfit for the thing. Hence, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. John 7:6. But when all the circumstances always foreknown of God shall come to be opened out and laid together before us, we shall then see the lifting up is come in the time most for the honor of God and our good, and that it would not have done so well sooner. When the time comes that is really the due time, the proper time for the lifting up a child of God from his humbling circumstances, it will not be put off one moment longer. At the end, it shall speak. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk 2:3. Though it tarry, it will not linger, nor be put off to another time. Oh, what rest of heart would the firm faith of this afford us! There is not a child of God but would, with the utmost earnestness, protest against a lifting up before the due time, as against an unripe fruit cast to him by an angry father, which would set his teeth on edge. Since it is so, then, could we firmly believe this point, that it will undoubtedly come in the due time, without losing of a minute, it would afford a sound rest? It must be so, because God has said it. Were the case ever so hopeless, were mountains of difficulties lying in the way of it, at the appointed time, it will blow. Habakkuk 2:3, a metaphor from the wind rising in a moment after a dead calm. The humbling circumstances are ordinarily carried to the utmost point of hopelessness before the lifting up. The knife was at Isaac's throat before the voice was heard, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. Things soon seem to us arrived at this point. Such is the hastiness of our spirits, but things may have far to go down after we think they are at the foot of the hill, and we are almost as little competent judges of the point of hopelessness as of the due time of lifting up. But generally, God carries his people's humbling circumstances downward, still downward, till they come to that point. Herein God is holding the same course which he held in the case of the man Christ, the beloved pattern copied after in all the dispensations of providence towards the church and every particular believer, Romans 8:29. He was all along a man of sorrows. As his time went on, the waters swelled more till he was brought to the dust of death. Then he was buried and the gravestone sealed, which done, the world thought they were quit of him and he would trouble them no more. But they quite mistook it. Then and not till then was the due time for lifting him up. And the most remarkable lifting up that his people get are fashioned after this grand pattern. Another end which providence aims at is to carry the believer clean off his own and all created foundations, to fix his trust and hope in the Lord alone, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:9. The life of a Christian here is designed to be a life of faith, and though faith may act more easily when it has some help from sense, yet it certainly acts most nobly when it acts in opposition to sense. Then is it pure faith when it stands alone on its own native legs, the power and word of God, Romans 4:19-20. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And thus it must do when matters are carried to the utmost point of hopelessness. Again, due preparation of the heart for the lifting up out of the humbling circumstances goes before the due time of that lifting up according to the promise. It is not so in every lifting up. The liftings up of common providences are not so critically managed. Men will have them, will wait for them no longer, and God flings them in anger ere they are prepared for them. I gave thee a king in mine anger, Hosea 13:11. They can by no means abide the trial, and God takes them off as reprobate silver that is not able to abide it, Jeremiah 6:29-30. This due preparation consists in a due humiliation, Psalm 10:17, and it often takes much work to bring about this, which is another point that we are very incompetent judges of. We should have thought Job was brought very low in his spirit by the providence of God bruising him on the one hand and his friends on the other for a long time. Yet after all that he had endured both ways, God saw it necessary to speak to him himself for his humiliation. Chapter 38:1. By that speech of God himself, he was brought to his knees, chapter 40:4-5. And we should have thought he was then sufficiently humbled, and perhaps he thought so too. But God saw a further degree of humiliation necessary, and therefore begins again to speak for his humiliation, which at length laid him in the dust, chapter 42:5-6. And when he was thus prepared for lifting up, he got it. There are 6 things, I conceive, belong to this humiliation preparatory to lifting up. 1. A deep sense of sinfulness and unworthiness of being lifted up at all. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I shall lay mine hand upon my mouth. Job 40:4. People may be long in humbling circumstances ere they be brought this length. Even good men are much prejudiced in their own behalf, and may so far forget themselves as to think God deals his favors unequally and is mighty severe on them more than others. Elihu marks this fault in Job under his humbling circumstances, Job 33:8-12. And I believe it will be found there is readily a greater keenness to vindicate our own honor from the imputation the humbling circumstances seem to lay upon it than to vindicate the honor of God in the justice and equity of the dispensation. The blindness of an ill-natured world, still ready to suspect the worst causes for humbling circumstances, as if the greatest sufferers were surely the greatest sinners, Luke 13:4, gives a handle for this bias of the corrupt nature. But God is a jealous God, and when He appears sufficiently to humble, He will cause the matter of our honor to give way to the vindication of His. 2. A resignation to the divine pleasure as to the time of lifting up. God gives the promise, leaving the time blank as to us. Our time is always ready, and we rashly fill it up at our own hand. God does not keep our time because it is not the due time. Hence we are ready to think His words fail, whereas it is but our own rash conclusion from it that fails. I said in mine haste, all men are liars. Psalm 116:11. Several of the saints have suffered much by this means, and thereby learned to let alone filling up that blank. The first promise was thus used by believing Eve, Genesis 4:1. Another promise was so by believing Abraham, after about 10 years waiting, Genesis 16. If this be the case of any child of God, let them not be discouraged upon it, thinking they were overly rash in applying the promise to themselves. They were only so in applying the time to the promise, a mistake that saints in all ages have made, which they repented and saw the folly of, and let alone that point for the time to come, and then the promise was fulfilled in its own due time. Let them in such circumstances go and do likewise, leaving the time entirely to the Lord. 3. An entire resignation as to the way and manner of bringing it about. We are ready to do as to the way of accomplishing the promise, just as with the time of it, to set a particular way for the Lord's working of it, and if that be not kept, the proud heart is stumbled. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, He will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place. 2 Kings 5:11. But the Lord will have His people broken off from that too, that they shall prescribe no way to Him, but leave it to Him entirely, as in that case, verse 14. He went down and dipped Himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and He was clean. The compass of our knowledge of ways and means is very narrow, as if one is blocked up. Oftentimes we cannot see another. But our God knows many ways of relief where we know but one or none at all. And it is very usual for the Lord to bring the lifting up of His people in a way they had no view to, after repeated disappointments from those quarters whence they had great expectation. 4. Resignation as to the degree of the lifting up, yea, and as to the very being of it in time. The Lord will have His people weaned so that, however hasty they have sometimes been, that they behooved to be so soon lifted up and could no longer bear, they shall be brought at length to set no time at all, but submit to go to the grave under their weight, if it seem good in the Lord's eyes. And in that case, they will be brought to be content with any measure of it in time, without prescribing how much. If I shall find a favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. 2 Samuel 15:25-26. 5. The continuing of praying and waiting on the Lord in the case. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Ephesians 6:18. It is pride of heart and an unsubdued spirit that makes people give over praying and waiting, because their humbling circumstances are lengthened out time after time. 2 Kings 6:33. But due humility, going before the lifting up, brings man into that temper to pray, wait, and hang on resolutely, setting no time for the giving it over, till the lifting up come, whether in time or eternity. Lamentations 3:49-50. 6. Mourning under mismanagement of the trial. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job 42:3. The proud heart dwells and expiates on the man's sufferings in the trial, and casts out all the folds of the trial on that side, and views them again and again. But when the Spirit of God comes duly to humble in order to lifting up, he will cause the man to pass in a sort the suffering side of the trial, and turn his eyes on his own conduct in it, ransack it, judge himself impartially, and condemn himself, so that his mouth will be stopped. This is that humility that goes before the lifting up in time, in the way of the promise. We proceed to consider the lifting up as brought about at the end of time in the other world, and a word as to the nature of this lifting up. Concerning this, we shall say these five things. There is a certainty of this lifting up in all cases of the humbled under humbling circumstances, though one cannot in every case make them sure of a lifting up in time, yet they may be assured be the case. What it may, they will, without all peradventure, get a lifting up on the other side. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Though God's humble children may both breakfast and dine on bread of adversity and water of affliction, they will be sure to sup sweetly and plentifully, and the believing expectations of the latter might serve to qualify the former and make them easy under it. It will be a perfect lifting up. Hebrews 12:23. They will be perfectly delivered out of their particular trials and special furnace, be what it will, that made them weary many a day. Lazarus was then delivered from his poverty and sores, and lying at the rich man's gate, Luke 16:22, and fully delivered. Yea, they will get a lifting up from all their humbling circumstances together. All imperfections will then be at an end. Inferiority in relations, contradictions, afflictions, uncertainty, and sin. If it was long in coming, there will be a blessed moment when they shall sit together. They will not only be raised out of their low condition, but they will be set up on high as Joseph, not only brought out of prison, but made ruler over the land of Egypt, and they will be lifted up into a high place. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Luke 16:22. Now they are at best but in a low place upon this earth. There they will be seated in the highest heavens, Philippians 1:23, with Ephesians 4:10. Often in their humbling circumstances, they are obliged now to embrace dunghills. Then they will be set with Christ on his throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, Revelation 3:21. Though they now cleave to the earth, and men say, bow down, that we may pass over you, they will then be settled in the heavenly mansions above the sun, moon, and stars. They will also be lifted up into a high state and condition, a state of perfection. Out of all their troubles and uneasiness, they will be set in a state of rest. From their mean and inglorious condition, they will be advanced into a state of glory. Their burdened and sorrowful life will be succeeded with a fullness of joy, and their humbling circumstances, they will be clothed with eternal glory and honor. It will be a final lifting up, after which there will be no more casting down forever. Revelation 7:16, when we get a lifting up in time, we are apt to imagine fondly we are at the end of our trials, but we soon find we are too hasty in our conclusions, and the cloud returns. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Psalm 36:7. But then indeed the trial is quite over, the fight is at an end, and then is the time of the retribution and the triumph. There will not be the least uneasiness remaining from the humbling circumstances, but on the contrary, they will have a glorious and desirable effect. I make no question but the saints will have the remembrance of the humbling circumstances they were under there below. Did the rich man in hell remember his having 5 brethren on the earth? How sumptuously he fared, how Lazarus sat at his gate, and can we doubt that the saints will remember perfectly their heavy trials? Revelation 6:10. But then they will remember them as waters that fail, as the man recovered to health remembers his tossing on the sick bed. And that is a way of remembering that sweetens the present state of health beyond what otherwise it would be. Certainly the shore of the Red Sea was the place that, of all places, was the fittest to help the Israelites to sing in the highest key. And the humbling circumstances of saints on the earth will be of the same use to them in heaven. Revelation 15:3. God's appointed time for our lifting up. A word to the due time of this lifting up. There is a particular definite time for it in every saint's case, which is the due time, but it is hid from us. We can only say in general, 1. Then is the due time for it, when our work we have to do in this world is over. God has appointed to every one his task, fight, trial, and work. Until that is done, we are in a sort immortal. John 9:4 and 11:9. That work is doing work set to us by the great Master to be done for the honor of God and the good of our fellow creatures. Ecclesiastes 9:10. We must be content to be doing on, even in our humbling circumstances, till that be done out. It is not the due time for that lifting up, till we are at the end of that work and so have served our generation. And it is suffering work. There is a certain portion of suffering that is allotted for the mystical body. The head has divided to the several members their proportions thereof, and it is not the due time for that lifting up till we have exhausted the share thereof allotted to us. Paul looked on his life as a going on in that. Colossians 1:24. 2. When that lifting up comes, we shall see it is come exactly in the due time, that it was well, it was neither sooner or later, for though heaven is always better than earth, and that it would be better for us, absolutely speaking, to be in heaven than on earth, yet certainly there is a time wherein it is better for the honor of God and his service that we be on the earth than in heaven. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Philippians 1:24. And it will be no grief apart to them when there that they were so long in their humbling circumstances and were not brought sooner. use application. Let not then the humblest cast away their confidence, whatever their humbling circumstances be. Let them assure themselves there will come a lifting up to them at length, if not here, yet to be sure hereafter. Let them keep this in their view and comfort themselves with it, for God has said it, the needy shall not alway be forgotten. Psalm 9:18, if the night were ever so long, the morning will come at length. Let patience have her perfect work. The husbandman waits for the return of his seed, the merchant for the return of his ships, the storemaster for what he calls year time, when he draws in the produce of his flocks. All these have long patience, and why should not the Christian too have patience, and patiently wait for the time appointed for his lifting up? You have heard much of the crook in the lot, the excellency of humbleness of spirit in a low lot, beyond pride of spirit, though joined with a high one. You have been called to humble yourselves in your humbling circumstances, and have been assured in that case of a lifting up. To conclude, we may assure ourselves, God will at length break in pieces the proud, be they ever so high, and he will triumphantly lift up the humble, be they ever so low.